That reading from St. Mark's Gospel, which we have just heard, is a familiar passage to us. A passage that concludes two healing miracles. Jesus, on his way to help one family, encounters another need. And from this account, I think we can learn a number of things about Jairus, the father of the small girl who was seriously ill, about the woman who stopped Jesus on his way, and about Jesus himself. So Jairus was a man of considerable importance in the community, described as a ruler of the synagogue. So he was responsible for the management of the synagogue and for the conducting of the services, probably rather like our church wardens today, there to make sure that things were done correctly and in order. We see about Jairus that, first of all, he put aside his prejudice. But this time Jesus was considered something of an outsider, by some a heretic, especially by the Orthodox Jews and leaders of the churches. But his child needed help. He would do anything for her. He'd probably heard about Jesus and what he was able to do. And maybe he had even witnessed some of Jesus' miracles. So surely it was worth a try to come to this man. But secondly, he forgot his dignity. For we read, he fell at Jesus' feet. A man in his position was prepared to humble himself in front of all the people, all those who had gathered to listen to Jesus, but to fall at the feet of an itinerant preacher. He could just as well have sent a message, but he came himself and knelt down. And thirdly, we see that he forgot his pride. He was a man not only in charge of the synagogue, but in charge of his own life. But he had to ask for help. His friends might wonder why he had left his sick child, why he didn't call for a physician. Perhaps there was no one else who would come to Jesus. And indeed, when the child was thought to be dead, they said to him, "Why are you bothering the preacher anymore? There's no need." But Jairus had faith in Jesus. His own position was less important. But we can also learn something about the woman who touched Jesus in the crowd. She was suffering from an embarrassing long-term illness, one that would have made her an outcast in society. She would be considered unclean and probably not allowed to minister to her own family, to provide food for them, and not able to attend the synagogue. So this woman put aside her fear and her humiliation. Her fear, a fear of being rejected. She came up behind Jesus and touched his clothes. One translation says, the hem of his garment. He might not have noticed and gone on his way. Or he might have turned and rebuked her for such impertinence. But she had to take a chance. She put aside the fears that she might have had to ask for help. And her humiliation, the nature of her illness, as we've already thought, was embarrassing. She would have been considered ritually unclean. If Jesus did turn round and renounce her publicly, everyone would know about her problem. What if her touch had made him unclean? But she, like Jairus, was in great need, and she had faith in Jesus. And so she took this chance to creep up and touch him. But surely also from this account we can learn about Jesus. Firstly, he had time for people. Jairus said to him, "Come." So Jesus went with him. He had a crowd of people all around him. He had already had a busy day on the other side of the lake, but he recognized the urgency of Jairus' request, and so he went with him. But then on the way, there was another claim on his time, the woman who touched his clothes. He could just gone on his way. He was already going to do one important thing, but he stopped. And to her he spoke words of love and assurance. Perhaps we can imagine Jairus anxious. Why the delay? Why isn't Jesus coming? But Jesus was in control of the situation and of the time. But secondly, I think we see that healing was costly to Jesus. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. Perhaps we tend to think of Jesus walking leisurely around with his disciples, talking as he went, which was the rabbi's way of teaching in those days. Perhaps on the way, stopping to perform a miracle, looking at the scene around him, preaching to the crowds that followed. But we do know that from time to time he was tired. He fell asleep in the boat. But also that he got up very early to pray. For earlier in St. Mark's Gospel we read, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place to pray. He needed the strength that he gained from God, because his ministry was demanding. But thirdly, we see that he had practical compassion. Despite being told that it was too late, the child was dead, he continued to the house. At the house, he turned out the noisy crowd of mourners. Now, these would have not been the immediate family members who naturally had a right to be there, but professional mourners hired for the occasion, what we might call rent-a-mob. But Jesus knew the importance of a peaceful atmosphere for the well-being of the child and for the parents. And so only the parents and his close companions were allowed to witness his ministry to the child. Those three companions who were often with Jesus were with him on this occasion. And in the quiet of the situation with the mourners removed, he was able to speak quietly and to minister to the sick child and her family. And if we look back to the woman who came and touched his garment, he spoke words of comfort to her, knowing that she not only needed physical healing, but the assurance that she had done the right thing. And then we see that Jesus told them to give the child something to eat. He was practical. As he took the child by the hand and raised her up, he turned to the amazed parents. And he recognized that if the little girl had been ill for some time, she would need nourishment. But it surely also gave the parents something practical to do, a return to normality after the traumas that they had suffered. So here in this account from the Gospel, we have met a man and a woman who forgot everything, put aside their pride and dignity and their fear because of their great need and also because of their faith in Jesus to meet that need. To Jairus, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Now, it takes a great deal to admit that we need help day by day in our ordinary everyday lives, but also when we have problems to face. It takes courage and humility to acknowledge that we cannot manage on our own, and that we need comfort and assurance that we are loved and accepted, despite our own feelings. We can sometimes hide our feelings from those around us. We can try to hide them from ourselves, but we can't hide them from God. a God who longs to help us, to forgive us for the times when we doubt. And we have met Jesus, a man of compassion, who had time for people, as well as to perform miracles. He performed the miracles, but he also gave practical help and advice. And we too need to look beyond ourselves to those around us, with compassion to those in need, to have time to listen, and this is costly, and to be practical in our response. St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." If we are rich, then let us pray that we may follow his example and be prepared to share these riches with those around us. Amen.